I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. And very soon the year will come to an end. We are already in the last month of the third quarter of the year, and then very soon we will be entering the final quarter of the year. And every day as time passes, let us always remind ourselves that our Lord is coming back soon. Yes, and one day we shall have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we did for him. My dear friends, what kind of account would we be able to give unto the Lord? Will we be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Let us not be oblivious of the times and of the seasons. My dear friends, look around us and we see that there is no peace in the world. You turn on the news every day. What peace do you hear? Every day you hear of bombings and killings. You hear of earthquakes. You hear of burnings and rioting and so forth. My dear friends, these are the signs of the time. And we hear of the days of Sodom and Gomorrah being here already. And if you are not aware of this fact, wake up, my dear friends. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah are here. Soon we'll hear the cry of the bridegroom. Yes, we'll hear the midnight cry, and the bridegroom will be here. Are we ready to meet him when he comes? So these are questions that we need to be posing to ourselves every day, my dear friends. Let's be prepared for his soon return. The topic this morning is, sue like the world. Should we be taking up legal suits like people in the world? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. All right, I'll be speaking from this passage primarily. Now, Australia is not far behind America in being a litigious country. People merrily, for example, sue the doctors in this country, and so much so that doctors have to take up very, very costly insurance coverages just to protect themselves against these legal suits. And some legal suits here in Australia and in many other places are really very, very ridiculous. You take, for example, this one. Some years ago, there was this person in Queensland who sued the Queensland government. I do not know whether you remember the story or not. And this man jumped off the bridge, or one of the bridges in Queensland. And he wanted to commit suicide, actually, but he failed in his suicide attempt, as a result of which he suffered paralysis. He was paralyzed. And then he found a loophole in the laws of the state, and he decided to take up a legal suit against the Queensland state. And he said his argument was this: the government had built a fence that was too low, so low that he could climb over to try to commit suicide, and therefore the government was in the wrong, and therefore he took up the legal suit against the government. And you guess what? Did he win or did he lose the case? Of course he won the case, all right? Now, if we follow the news, my dear friends, very often we would come across ridiculous cases such as this. Now, this strong inclination to take up legal suits is really part of the spirit of the age. And it was also part of the spirit of the age during the time of the early church. In the days of the early church in the city of Corinth. Now, the Greeks were a very litigious people. They were fond of suing one another, and they loved to hear legal fights that took place in the courts that were near the marketplaces in those days. And Corinth, the city of Corinth being a commercial city, litigations on commercial matters were actually quite common. Now, the church at Corinth, remember we have been talking about the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was really a church that was very puffed up spiritually. Members of the church thought that they were very, very spiritual because they thought that they had spiritual gifts, and they were very, very proud. And remember, the church was very, very troubled by a party spirit in the church. there were several parties in the church. They had several leaders, and they appointed them to be leaders or identified them as their leaders, and the church was divided into several parties. Then last week we talked about this very infamous case of incest in the church, the relationship between this man and his stepmother. Now, apart from all these very, very scandalous events that took place in the church was quite litigious. People in the church were suing one another, so much so that Paul wrote this letter to them and to tell them, get rid of this litigious spirit in the church. Get rid of it. Now, was Paul against the existence of civil courts in those days? No, he wasn't. All right, he wasn't. Let's not misunderstand and to think that Paul was against the existence of civil courts. He was not against its existence. You remember in Romans chapter 13, Paul said that the powers that be and the magistrates are all ordained by the one true living God. So, Christians have to obey their authority if their authority does not oppose the word of God. And Paul, when he wrote to this church, he was actually rebuking this church for their very, very litigious spirit. And not that he was opposed to this existence of civil courts in those days. And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, he says, now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. This was a serious fault in the church. Paul says, this is a serious fault in this church. Yes, you go to law one with another. Now, what was wrong with having this litigious spirit? You can also put this question in the present tense. What is wrong with having this litigious spirit? Which is my first point. First, to have this litigious spirit is being worldly. Unbelievers in the city of Corinth were prone to suing one another because they were unbelievers. To them, it was something that was very, very common. They would sue one another. And this perhaps was something that the Corinthian Christians were practicing before they became Christians. But when they became Christians, they brought this litigious spirit into the church. They were actually adopting the standard of the world. And so the great apostle Paul was writing to them to tell them that what you are doing is actually adopting the standard of the world. By having this litigious spirit, you are actually adopting the standard of the world. Now let us understand that if to sue one another is the standard of the world obviously will see nothing wrong with suing one another. Because after all, it is the standard of the world. So people in the world will see nothing wrong with suing one another. Now likewise, the world will see nothing wrong with dressing like the world. Because it's the standard of the world to dress like that, nothing wrong with dressing like the world. Nothing wrong with talking like the world, because it's the standard of the world to talk like the world. Yes, divorcing and marrying like the world, no problem. Yes, because that's the standard of the world. And then it's the in thing to do, it's the right thing to do, people in the world would say. Yes, and the world will tell us who are believers in the church. You are wrong. You are wrong, they tell us. You are wrong to think that we are wrong. That's how the world thinks of us, says of us. You are wrong to say that we are wrong. You're old-fashioned. You are behind time. That's what the world tells us. But what does the Word of God say about the world? What does the Word of God say about the world? We talked about it last night at the Bible study, and I'm sure I did mention this one or two messages ago. And we read from James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Yes, the writer of James writing to the church said this, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses," the writer of the book of James wasn't referring to physical adulterers and physical adulteresses. He was talking about spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. Yes, we are to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are not to love the world. If we love the world, then we become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. And the word of God says in the book of James, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That is how the word of God sees the world. That's how. So, my dear friends, if we adopt the standards of the world, my dear friends, we are adopting the standards of the enemy. Just think of it. So what standards do we use to measure the things we think, the things we do, the things we say? What standards do we make use of? Are we using the standards of the world, or are we using the standards based on the Word of God? Friends, let us be very, very careful that we not bring the standards of the world into the church. The worldly standard of having a litigious spirit is just one of the many worldly standards. Now, if we have indeed grown in the faith and are not carnal, in other words, we are not unspiritual, we are spiritual, we will be able to identify what standards to adopt in the church. If we are spiritual, yes, we will know what standards to adopt. Yes, we will know what good Christian music is. We know that nobody has to tell us the standard, but we'll know that what good Christian music is. Then we'll know what kind of language we ought to be using. If we are mature Christians, we have grown in our faith, and we will know what kind of dresses we have to put on. We don't have to have a dress code, but we will know if we are truly mature Christians, we are growing in the faith, we will know what standards to make use of. And then we will know how to manage the church also. We will not manage the church based on the standards of the world, but based on the standards provided for in the Word of God. Our standards will not be those of the world. Yes, our standards will be those based on the Word of God. And our basic question in all the things that we do and say and think will be this: is the Lord pleased with what I say? Is the Lord pleased with what I do? Not what the elder thinks is good, or the pastor thinks is good, the leaders of the church think is right, but rather, what does the Lord think in regards to what I say, what I do? Yes, that is what we will be asking in all the things that we say and do and think. Now, another thing that is wrong with having a litigious spirit is that it is very unchristlike to have a litigious spirit. First, it is worldly. Second, we are being unchristlike if we have a litigious spirit. Paul says in verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" Paul starts off with this: "Dare any of you have a matter against another?" What is the motivation for our going against another? What is the motivation for suing another person? What do you think would be the motivation? My dear friends, I dare say that very often it is greed, impatience maybe, revenge, hostility. These are some of the motivations that we have when we want to sue people. Now we think of this man again who jumped off the bridge in Queensland to try to commit suicide. As we said, he suddenly found a loophole in the law in Queensland, and he said, "This is a great opportunity for me. After all, I have nothing to lose. If I don't win the case, I have nothing to lose. After all, I'm already paralyzed, really nothing to lose. But if I win, I get a big windfall." Now, this man didn't blame himself for his injuries. He blamed other people for his injuries. And my dear friends, it was sheer greed. Greed that caused him to cause taxpayers to pay for his self-inflicted injuries. Now, I remember also the case of a woman who went for ligation because she didn't want to conceive anymore. She didn't want to produce anymore. So she went for ligation. But the gynecologist who performed that surgery on her botched the job. And so she was not properly ligated, and she was able to conceive. Now, as a result of the botched surgery, this woman conceived and bore a boy. Now, this boy was a very, very healthy, normal, very, very lovable boy. And did the mother love this boy? Of course, she loved this boy very, very much, because he was such a very lovable boy. Her husband also loved this boy very, very much. But you know what this woman said? I must sue the doctor. I must sue the doctor. Why must I sue the doctor? She said, it's a matter of principle. In the first instance, I didn't want to have any more babies, but you see, he failed the job, so I've got another son. And then she said, I must sue him to compensate me so that I will be able to be provided for to bring up this child. My dear friends, so what was the real motivation for his suing this doctor? You think it was a matter of principle? I don't think so. I think it was sheer greed. It wasn't that he didn't like this son that she gave birth to. She loved the son, normal son, healthy son, very adorable. And yet, she sued the doctor. If she did it out of greed. Now let us realize that the rich and the poor, both of them can be greedy. You think the poor can't be greedy? I tell you, the poor can be greedy. The poor in the outback can be greedy also. You think the poor is not able to sue? I say the poor is able to sue today, because there are lawyers around who are willing to take up cases on a no-win, no-pay basis. All right. If they don't win the cases, they don't get paid, they say. If we win the cases, we get paid. So there are poor people who will be very, very happy to engage such lawyers. And such lawyers will be very, very happy to be engaged too. So the poor can be greedy. Now what about the rich? Can the rich be greedy? Of course the rich can be greedy. Last night we talked about this man at our Bible study. When we studied the book of James, we talked about this man, King Ahab. Remember that? And I cited him quite often from this pulpit. King Ahab. Ahab, of course, was a king. Of course, he was a very wealthy man. And he had very, very nice, beautiful palatial grounds. But he was not contented with what he had. He must annex his neighbor's vineyard, the vineyard that belonged to this man called Naboth. Now, Naboth was not prepared to give him his land, not prepared to sell him the land, not prepared to exchange his piece of land with another piece of land, which Ahab offered him. Because that land was given to him by his ancestors. It was his heritage. And according to the laws of Moses, the Jews don't usually give up their land. Yes, they would not want to give up the land, and he didn't want to give up the land. And when Ahab could not get that piece of land, what did he do? Do you think he went away very happy? No, my dear friends, he went home very, very depressed. He felt like a spoiled brat. I read for you exactly what is written in the Word of God. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For Naboth had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. He didn't want to sell it to him. Didn't want to give it to him. And so Ahab went home and he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Do you hear what I just read? He turned away his face and would eat no bread. Behaved exactly like a spoiled brat. He was very, very greedy. Now what did his wife do? His wife was a very, very wicked woman. His wife was Jezebel. She thought of a plan to kill Naboth, and she managed to kill Naboth, and the result of which was Ahab was able to greedily seize that piece of land that belonged to his neighbor. So the rich can be greedy, and greed can motivate us to do wicked things, and indeed greed can cause us to sue other people. You see, that's why to have a litigious spirit is wrong. Yes, because a litigious spirit could be motivated by greed. So it is very, very important, my dear friends, that we ask the Lord to cleanse us of this sin, the sin of greed. Let us not allow it to cause us to take up a legal suit against a brother. Now, a litigious spirit is wrong because it is motivated by revenge. Someone has hurt us, hurt our pride, hurt our pocket, and then we don't like to be made to look like suckers, right? And so we say, oh, we must do something about it. And so out of revenge, we take up a case against a brother. And how sad it is to see a brother taking another brother to court, yes, to try to cause injuries to another, to that brother. Now, of course, it is very easy for us here to say, today, seated in the pew, in peace, we say, ah, never mind if somebody has offended me, if somebody has injured me, let me not overcome evil with evil, but let me overcome evil with good. Easy to say, right? But I can tell you this, my dear friends, when we are hurt, when we are injured by some people, it is not that easy to say that. I can tell you that when we are hurt, when we are injured, the temptation is very, very strong for us to take revenge. True or not true? Of course it's true. Yes, it's true. But as believers, do we seriously think that we will have peace after we have taken revenge? Yes, of course, revenge is sweet, we say. But friends, let us not forget that we are answerable to the Lord, who has taught us to pray this prayer. And we pray this prayer every Lord's Day. And what is it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Can we then sincerely pray this prayer, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Can we sincerely pray this prayer if we are not forgiving? We can't pray this prayer sincerely. And can we expect the Lord to hear us and to forgive us our trespasses when in the meantime we are not prepared to forgive others of the trespasses? Can we expect Him to forgive us? We can't, my dear friends, we can't. And if we have a revengeful spirit in us, my dear friends, today, let us ask the Lord to remove it. If you ever think of taking somebody to court, remember what the Lord has taught us. Remember there was the occasion when Peter asked the Lord, how many times shall we forgive a person? Seven times? What did the Lord say? 70. 490 times. Now, it wasn't that the Lord was limiting the number of times to forgive others to 490 times. What it means, what the Lord meant was this: we are to keep on forgiving and forgiving as much as possible. Now, if we take this position of having a very forgiving spirit, then we can very sincerely pray this prayer: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every Sunday, let us not say this prayer mechanically. I think it would be good for us if we were to slow down this Lord's Prayer every day. Every Sunday when we come before the Lord to pray. Pray meaningfully. Slow down. Pray meaningfully. Mean what we say for every sentence that we utter. I think we should be doing that, my dear friends. And having a litigious spirit is wrong because it shows that we lack love. We lack love, that's why we sue. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. The Lord's command is that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, in the church situation, our fellow believers are more than our neighbors. True? They are more than our neighbors. They are, in fact, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. The same precious blood. We have the same Lord. We belong to the same body. Even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is totally unacceptable, totally uncharitable that brother should go to court with another brother, even over very, very trivial matters. Now, having this litigious spirit will generate and harden the spirit of hate. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8, nay, you do wrong and defraud your brother and that your brethren. He says you do wrong, you're swindling your brothers in Christ. You do wrong. You know why you do wrong? The reason why you do wrong is the more you think of bringing somebody to court, the more the spirit of hatred hardens in you. And it's true. The more you think of doing somebody in, you, the more you think of bringing somebody to court, the more the spirit of hatred hardens in you. And what does the person whom you try to bring the court to? What would he do? My dear friends, I think he will respond in kind. Yes, he will also respond in kind. His spirit of hatred will also harden in response to your spirit of hatred to him. Yes, Paul was fully aware of that kind of situation that existed in the city of Corinth in that church, and that's why he said, you must remove this spirit of litigation from among you. Now, the Lord's command for us is clear. He says this to us, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another, even as I have loved you. Yes, love one another. For by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Having a litigious spirit is completely opposite to what this commandment asks us to do. No, my dear friends, we are not to hate one another. But rather, we are to consider one another. Every Lord's Day as we come together, we must be considering one another. Yes? For what purpose, my dear friends, consider one another to provoke one another? Unto what? Hatred? Revenge? No, my dear friends, when we meet every Lord's Day, and any time we meet, we must try to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Love and good works. Now you look at the person who sits next to you. Look at the people who are your fellow churchgoers. Yes? Well, how do you see them? My dear friends, do we all see one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord? And every time we see one another, does it occur to us that we should try our very, very best to provoke one another, not to hatred, not to revenge, but provoke one another unto love and unto good works? So next time when we see one another, today when we see one another, two things must come in mind, love and good works, love and good works. I see him, I must provoke him to anger? No, unto love and unto good works. Can we remember that? All right. Another reason as to why we must not be litigious is that it destroys the testimony of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints. What happens is when you bring the matter before the law court, you are bringing the matter before unbelievers. Yes, you are bringing your matter before the unjust, unjust in the sight of the one true living God. You are bringing the matter before the unjust and unbelievers to judge your case. As it were, you are washing dirty linen in public if you bring the case before the law court. And as you know, the press is just waiting to sensationalize things. Now, can you imagine a pastor suing a member of the church? Think of a situation, a pastor suing a member of the church, and this matter is brought before the court. My dear friends, isn't this a very, very scandalous matter? My dear friends, don't think that this kind of thing is imaginary. It is not. This is something that is happening in Singapore. Right? Yes, a pastor suing a member of the church. Now the press is just waiting to blow everything out of proportion. Who will come to this church if they hear of such a scandalous matter in the church? Wow, the pastor suing a member of the church. This church must be terrible. This church must be full of hypocrites. Yes, religious hypocrites. How come this church is so quarrelsome? This church is full of people who are very, very revengeful. No. I'm not going to come to such a church. Yes. Now, we would then have taken the name of the Lord God in vain. We would have done a serious injury to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We would be driving people away from the Lord. People in the world can understand that people in the world can sue one another. They understand that. But they don't expect people in the church to sue one another. Yes, and if people in the church sue one another, then they are going to say, you are no different from us. I don't need your gospel because your gospel doesn't change hearts. I don't need your kind of gospel. We will bring shame to the name of our Lord. Now, another thing that is wrong with going to a civil court is that we give the impression that there are no persons in the church wise enough to lovingly try to settle a dispute in the church. We give that kind of impression to people in the world. But what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6? He says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now Paul in this instance was of course talking about the heathen courts in those days. Yeah, you bring the matter to the court, it was a heathen court. Of course, in those days, the courts were heathen courts. The courts today are also, many are heathen courts, all right? Yes, the courts were heathen courts. The law in those days would not have come under the influence of Christian teachings as yet. Now, that being the case, then all the more disputes between brothers and sisters in the church should be heard in the church, should be settled in the church, rather than to be brought outside of the church before a law court in those days. In fact, this was the practice among the Jews who were scattered all over the world for centuries. They would hear their cases within their own Jewish community. They will not hear these cases outside their community. The Jews will hear these cases within their Jewish community based on the Talmud, which contains the interpretation of the laws of Moses by the rabbi. And the Jews will hear the cases within their own community. Paul says that this is a good practice. Yes, it was a good practice, and it is a good practice. Today, in a modern Australia, of course we can say that the laws here are very much influenced by Christian teachings, and that is true. But still, that does not give us the great liberty to bring whatever matter to the law court to be heard. As far as possible, if the disputes can be settled within the church, we must try to lovingly settle the disputes within the church. That is scriptural, my dear friends, it is. The great Apostle Paul explains why these cases should be heard within the church. The reason is that there are people in the church wise enough to hear the cases. Yes, and this is the reason he gives. If you look at verses 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? One day when the Lord returns, let's understand, we are going to judge with him. Yes, when he returns, we are going to judge with him. And we are not only going to judge the world, but we are going to judge whom? Angels also. Now, my dear friends, if that be the case, surely today there are people in the church wise enough to hear disputes between members of the church, particularly if the disputes are over very, very small matters. Surely there are people wise enough to hear these disputes and to try to settle the disputes within the church and not outside the church. So, friends, it is wrong to have a litigious spirit, because to have it means that we are worldly, we are being unchristlike. And if we have this litigious spirit, we are actually destroying the testimony of the church. And then we would also be showing that we lack love. And we are showing the world that in the church there aren't people who are wise enough to try to settle disputes within the church lovingly. So to have a litigious spirit is wrong. But the next question is, how can we avoid having a litigious spirit? Look at verse 1. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 7, verse 7. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Paul was saying this, all right, to avoid having this litigious spirit. Be content to take less. Be content to take less. Why don't you rather take wrong and allow yourselves to be robbed, as it were? Now, do you think it is worth your while to take somebody, particularly a brother, to court? My dear friends, a brother who is in a brother in Christ to court, do you think it's worthwhile for you to take him to court? Now, you might think that ultimately you are going to gain because you are able to hurt that person whom you want to hurt. So you say, I'm gaining because I'm able to hurt the person whom I'm going to hurt. But in the meantime, when you are preparing for the case to hurt the other person, you are hurting yourself. You think of the tension that you have to go through preparing the case. And think of the bitterness of hatred that is in your heart that you have to suffer in preparation to bring the person to court. My dear friends, you lose lots and lots of peace. And now let's say that you are able to win the case, all right? And you have the satisfaction of winning the case. Now, do you think you are going to have peace in your heart to see a brother suffering and his family suffering because of the legal suit that you have taken against him? No, my dear friends, you will not have peace. I tell you why you won't have peace. If you are a true believer, you will not have peace. If you are a true believer, you will realize that you have broken God's laws. Now, how can you have peace if you have broken the commandments of the Lord? You know what the Lord has commanded us to do? He says in Matthew chapter 5, he says in Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's what the Lord says. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, if we are to love our enemies as commanded by the Lord, how much more we should be loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord? Don't you think so? Don't you think so? Yes, we should. And how can then we bring somebody to court who is a brother in the Lord? Now, and then you think that you are going to lose by taking less. You think you're going to lose by taking less? No. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord teaches us how to be happy. And part of the recipe for happiness is this. Remember what the Lord says? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yes, blessed are those who are willing to come before the Lord with a broken spirit. Yes, with a broken and a contrite heart. And realize how sinful they are. And how sinful they are if they have a litigious spirit. Yes, and you, if we realize that we have that it is very, very sinful to have a litigious spirit, and if we were to mourn over that sin, my dear friends, we will never, ever take anybody to court because we realize how sinful we are to have a litigious spirit. And I dare say, unhappy are those who have a litigious spirit, those who are not willing to take less, but who always want to win. My dear friends, they are going to be very, very unhappy because all the time they want to win, they are not willing to take less. They are going to be very, very unhappy. Then next, to avoid having a litigious spirit, we must not make mountains out of molehills. If people wrong us, by the grace of God, let us not amplify the matter in our minds to the extent that the wrong that the person has done against us is something that is unpardonable. No, my dear friends, let's apply love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love thinketh no evil. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the apostle teaches us this truth. Love thinketh no evil. You know what that means? Love does not keep a record of wrongs. That's what love is. Yes, and Paul says in chapter 4, verse 13, being defamed, talking about himself and his fellow laborers. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul says that he and his fellow laborers were defamed. They were slandered. So what did they do when they were defamed, when they were slandered? Did they respond in kind? Did they counter slander? Did they counter defame? No. Paul says, being defamed, we entreat. In other words, when they were defamed, they in return they spoke kind words to those who defamed them. Yes, surely can we do what the great Apostle Paul exhorts us to do, not to have a litigious spirit, not to be revengeful. Can we do that? Are we able to do that? Not by our own strength, for sure. We can't. But friends, let us every day remember this truth, that we have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we must reckon this to be a fact, that we have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man in us, with the litigious spirit, revengeful spirit, yes, the spirit that wants to do other people in, my dear friends, that old man has been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then now, with a new man in us, in control over us, we must be yielding the members of our bodies as instruments of righteousness for the Lord to make use of. Friends, if we are willing to have our old man crucified and have the new man take charge in us, my dear friends, we will surely not litigate. We will never allow this litigious spirit to be taking charge of us. Next, to avoid having a litigious spirit in the church, let us remember that those whom we relate with in the church, as I said earlier on, are not our enemies, and they are more than our neighbors. They are our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. Remember the Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians this truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. He says this, "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren." Between his brethren, brothers. Yes, "but brother goeth to law with brother." Again, he talks about brother with brother, and that before the unbelievers. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8, "Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother." Yes, you defraud your brethren. Those we have disputes with, as I said earlier on, are not our enemies. They are our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. As I said earlier on, and I remind all of us here, we have all been bought by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are members of the same body. How dare we take a brother to court, my dear friends? We should not be doing that. Let the spirit of brotherly love prevail in the church always. And let us take heed to what the great Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32, if you would like, please refer to this verse. Ephesians 4:32, yes. Ephesians 4:32. Let's read this verse together. This must be the spirit that prevails in the church. Ephesians 4:32. Let us read it. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So friends, what's wrong with having a litigious spirit? Having a litigious spirit is being worldly. Yes, we behave like people in the world, we are adopting the standards of the world. Having a litigious spirit is being very, very unchristlike. And being litigious, my dear friends, is if we are litigious, we are actually motivated by greed and by revenge many a time. And people sue one another because they are greedy. People sue one another because they want to take revenge. Then having a litigious spirit shows that we lack love. But we are to love one another, for by this shall all men know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having a litigious spirit can cause great scandals in the church that will drive people away from the church. And then besides, if we have a litigious spirit and then we go to courts, to the law court, we are telling the world that there are no wise persons in the church who are able to handle disputes, to amicably settle disputes among members who are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Then, by the grace of God, we must avoid having a litigious spirit. How may we be able to have to avoid having a litigious spirit? First, be content to take less. Yes, be ready to take wrong. Be ready to be robbed. Don't make mountains out of molehills. And remember, love covers a multitude of sins. Love thinketh no evil. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. We must treat our brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters in the Lord, not just brothers and sisters in the Lord. Treat them as dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then always remember to apply what we've just read. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And let us remember that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been crucified with the Lord. The old man in us has been crucified. The old man with his revengeful spirit, his litigious spirit, the old man has been crucified. Let the new man in us take charge. Let us yield the members of our body to the Lord for him to make use of as instruments of righteousness. If we are prepared to be crucified with the Lord, prepared to yield the members of our body to the Lord for him to make use of as instruments of righteousness, my dear friends, we will never ever sue a brother. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson of love that we have learned from your word. We pray that you will remove whatever kinds of worldly standards that we have been adopting for ourselves in our thinking, in the way we act, in the way we talk from us. Lord, we pray that you will be very, very gracious and cause us always to abide by the standards prescribed by your word. And Lord, this morning we pray that you will take away the spirits that are very, very offensive. We pray most of all that you will never allow the litigious spirit to take charge of us. We pray that by your grace that you have it, remove it completely from us. Teach us always to love one another as you would want us to love. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.